God is looking to delight his people. We talked about it Sunday morning, Sunday school, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, I believe it is, in verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. Nothing delights the heart of God more than to be able to move on the behalf of his people. And so God wants us to possess the land. That's the first key word in the book of Deuteronomy. We mentioned another key word is the word remember. And there's a lot of memorials in this book where God is reminding them. We talked about that last week, where God was reminding them of where he brought them from and why he brought them out and where he was taking them into. The third word that is key in this book is the book obedience. And there's a great deal, especially chapter 10 and chapter 12, talks a great deal about obedience and being obedient unto God. And as we were looking at the results last night of the election and just watching some of that, I got to think about our country. And I got to think about prayer and praying for our country. And we find it's really a patriotic prayer by Moses here in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Matter of fact, it's the only prayer to a certain extent that you find in the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses is praying for his people. If you would, notice three things about this prayer this evening. Notice, first of all, the meekness of Moses. Now, we talked a lot about this, about how Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. And it's hard to imagine that, is it not? Because Moses was a man that had a wee bit of a temper. And he saw an Egyptian struggling with a Hebrew, and he went and killed the Egyptian earlier in his days. Then later on, when the people rebelled, instead of speaking to the rock as God commanded him to do, he smote the rock. He got mad, smote the rock. So Moses had just a wee bit of a temper. And by the way, doesn't God know how to put us to the test? I don't have time to tell you all that took place with Brother Dallas the last two or three days, really since last Saturday night. But he was there for the message on Friday night where Brother Gibbs talked about murmuring. And he had a couple of bad experiences at the hospital. And he said, every time I'd walk in the merch room, he'd say, "Preacher, I'm trying not to murmur, but it sure is hard." And even today, he said, "Preacher, I'm trying not to complain." And boy, the Lord knows how to test us. But the meekness of Moses is found in, look in verse 9, if you will, please. We won't have time to read the whole passage this evening. But notice verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 9. He said, "When I was gone unto the mountain to see the tables of the stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water." Notice, if you will, please, verse 14. "Let me alone that I may destroy them." This is God speaking. "And blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they." These are two examples of the meekness. Verse 9, Moses reminded the people that God made the covenant with the children of Israel and not with him. He said in verse 9, "The Lord made the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you." It is sometimes tempting for a leader to get the idea that it's his people and it's his group. And Moses reminded them, "Look, I'm just part of the crowd." Now, Moses was responsible for being a leader, but Moses realized that he was not better than anybody else. And Moses understood that. And verse 14 is a great statement. Notice that Moses got frustrated with this crowd a couple times himself, didn't he? But notice verse 14, "Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven." And God is speaking to Moses now, and he said, "And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they." And I don't tell you, I don't care what kind of man you are, that's tempting. Because the same crowd that has frustrated Moses, God said, "Look, I'll tell you what, I'll wipe them out and I'll make a nation. It won't be the children of Abraham anymore. It'll be the children of Moses." Now, I'm going to tell you, that had to appeal to Moses' ego. It had to appeal to his pride. But Moses was a man of meekness. Notice verse 25 and verse 26 again. Verse 25, he said, "Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and I fell down at the first because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." He reminded them that the children of Israel are God's people. They were not Moses' children. They were not Moses' crowd. This was God's crowd. And Moses, even though he was placed in a place of leadership, did not overstep his bounds and did not try to take the place of God and call them his people. He understood they were God's people. So we see the meekness of Moses' prayer. By the way, it's interesting in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and what's the next word? And pray. Those two things go together. Humility and prayer to go together. And so we see Moses' meekness in that. Moses, as Abraham prayed for Lot, Moses is praying for the children of Israel. He's an advocate on their behalf. And we'll notice that in just a moment. Now, so number one, we see the meekness of Moses. Number two, we see the model of his prayer. He gives us a pattern for prayer. Notice verse 17. And this is where I find it so relevant to America. As we look at America, notice verse 17. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my hands and break them before your eyes. Notice, first of all, that Moses, in the model of his prayer, he's acknowledged their sin. In verse 17, he said, I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. We've talked a lot about Moses breaking the tablets, because remember, later on, God is going to say to Moses, Moses, I want you to write down on stone because you broke them the first time. And you can imagine how Moses must have felt. But understand this, that when a covenant was broken, Moses is not, when he breaks these tablets, it's not a fit of anger. Moses was not having a temper tantrum. Moses broke the tablets in front of the people for a reason. He did that to remind them that they had broken their covenant with God. Sometimes we get this idea that Moses got mad and he threw the stones, the tablets down, and they broke, and he was just pitching a fit. Moses was not having a temper tantrum. Moses was exhibiting to the children of Israel, look, you broke the covenant with God. God made you his people. He gave you his commandment. And before I could even come down from the mount with him, you'd already broken them. And so he's reminding the children of Israel, that breaking of the Ten Commandments, that breaking of the tablets, was a reminder to the children of Israel that they were to acknowledge and repent of their guilt. As we near another election, we need to remind America that we've sinned against God. And we're going to acknowledge that. So Moses, understand in his model prayer, knows his acknowledgement. Notice verse 21, this is important. Not only did he acknowledge that he was wrong, and by the way, that's where it all begins. We have, Brother Gibbs preached a tremendous message last Friday night especially, and he talked about our lack or needing wisdom. And he said the hardest two words to say are I lack. I lack. I need wisdom. You know, it's hard for somebody to admit, a Christian to believe they're wrong. Even when they're shown they're wrong, they won't admit it. Oh, by the way, all of us are that way. We have a hard time admitting we're wrong. Well, Moses in his model prayer, first thing he did was acknowledge that he wrong, acknowledge that they lacked. Notice the second thing. Not only was there an acknowledgement of their wrong, but notice in verse 21, there's an abandonment of their wrong. Notice verse 21. He said, I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and stamped it and ground it up very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust of it into the brook that descended out of the mount. Now Moses, as he's praying for his country, number one, he wants his country to acknowledge that they're wrong. If God is ever going to bless America again, we must acknowledge that we've sinned against him. And we don't need to take a list of sins that America is guilty of tonight. You know them as well as I do. Don't need to rehash those. But we've sinned against God in pride and in gratitude, in arrogance and disobedience. And so Moses and the children of Israel acknowledge their sin. Then they abandoned their sin. In verse 21, the Bible said he burned it, he stamped it, and ground it up very small. Now, I don't know exactly how he did that, but that golden calf, and we don't know what size it was exactly, but that golden calf that they had worshipped, Moses literally obliterated it. So much that it was nothing but dust. Now, I'll tell you, that's going to the nth degree, shall we say, to get rid of the wickedness that was in the land. Moses wanted to make sure there was nothing left that they could still worship. You know what he was doing? He was abandoning the wickedness that has separated them from God. If we're going to be blessed again by God, America needs to abandon our wickedness. And by the way, that starts with the church. Pride, an evil eye, a judgmental spirit, lack of forgiveness, bitterness, envy, animosity, all sorts of things we can name. We must abandon those things. Notice verse 20 and verse 26. We see Moses in a model prayer abandoned or acknowledged his sin for the nation. He abandoned the sin of the nation. And notice in verse 20 and verse 26, he became an advocate for his brother. Verse 20, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. Verse 26, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Moses became an advocate for Aaron and for his brothers and sisters in the nation of Israel. In this model prayer, a patriotic prayer, because he's praying for the health of his nation. He's praying that God would spare his nation. By the way, that's not stretching it. I don't have time to read it, but you can go back here. I believe it's in verse, we read it earlier, verse 14. In verse 14, God said, Moses, you get out of the way. I'm going to kill every one of them. Moses was literally interceding to save God's chosen people. He saved a nation here. May I say to you, that's my responsibility and that's your responsibility in this country, is to pray on behalf of our country that God would spare our nation. Someone said that, I don't remember where I saw it today, it might be a text or something, they were talking about praying for about Trump winning yesterday, and can we survive 4 years of Trump? And someone said, well, if we survived 4 years of Obama, we might can survive 4 years of Trump. Well, I don't know. Here's what I know. I know Acts 10, verse 36, we read it Sunday night. He is Lord of all. It doesn't matter who gets elected. May I say to you that God is still in control. And Abraham is an advocate for his nation. In verse 20, he prays for Aaron because God's going to kill Aaron. Then in verse 26, he prays for the people. Verse 14, God said, Moses, you get out of the way, I'll wipe the whole crowd out. Many preachers have said that if Moses and God ever got together, there wouldn't be a nation of Israel. Because Moses at one time prayed that God would kill him, and God said no. And in this chapter, God wants to kill him, and Moses said no. Moses was an advocate. As a believer, he said, preacher, what do we do in 2016 when our world, our nation, our country is about as evil as it? What do we do? Well, first of all, we acknowledge our sin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He didn't say for the nation to turn from their wicked ways. So Moses is setting us an example of how to be a patriotic prayer warrior in 2016. Number one, acknowledge our sin. Number two, abandon our sin. Moses took what some would call extreme measures. I'm sure there were some in Moses' crowd that would say, Moses, if you'll just put it in the back, we won't put it up front by the altar, but let's just put it in the back. But let the calf stay. Moses said, I won't tell you, nothing is going to stay from that calf. They got rid of all of it. He abandoned their sin. And then number three, he was an advocate for others. So number one, we acknowledge our sin. Number two, we abandon our sin. Then number three, we pray for others. And in the patriotic prayer. Notice number three very quickly, the motivation in verse 28. The Bible says in verse 28 of Deuteronomy chapter 9, lest the land which thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest up by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. Moses' motivation was, boy, this is so important for us to remember now. Moses' motivation in his prayer was not for the nation of Israel to be spared and to be comfortable. That was not his prayer. His prayer in verse 29 was for God's name not to be blasphemed. I'll tell you one reason why God doesn't answer our prayer, because we have the wrong motivation. Let's just be honest about it. The reason we want the right president is because it'll be easier on us. Because we won't suffer persecution. We want a certain president because we don't want to go to jail. We want a certain president because we don't want our religious freedoms stripped from us. Can I just be blunt about it? That's the wrong prayer. That's the wrong motivation. Moses was praying not that they would have it easy. Moses was praying not that their life would be better. Moses was praying that God's name would be honored. It's no wonder God does not hear our prayer, because we pray selfishly. We pray for more for our convenience and our comfort than we do for God's honor, for God's glory. So we see the motivation in his prayer. Two things he appeals to. Notice in verse 26, number one, he appeals to God's greatness. Verse 26, he said, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. In his prayer, he understood and he recognized God's greatness. You say, preacher, why do we pray? I'll tell you why we pray. Because God can do anything. God can do anything. I mentioned just a moment ago that Miss Beverly's mom got saved just a few days ago before she passed away. I was visiting their home last night, and I did not know the gentleman they were talking about, but they were talking about someone here who lived in this area, and they got saved before he died a number of years ago, and it was a friend of Miss Beverly's dad. And they were talking about how he got saved. And everybody in the room said, if there was ever anybody in the world we thought would never get saved, it was this man. I wish I could remember his name. They said it was this man. They said finally one preacher got to witness it to him. And he was a guy who was always looking for a deal. And the guy got to give him the gospel and ask him about being saved. And he said, now look, he said, you've wronged a lot of people. And you've hurt a lot of people's feelings, and you've cheated a lot of people in this community. Now, if God's going to save you, the first thing you got to do, you got to be willing to forgive others. You got to be willing to get rid of that bitterness and forgive them. And they said he sat there and looked at him for over a minute, and he said, "I'll forgive all of them but five." That's it. There's five of them I'm not going to forgive. Well, finally, he went on and became a Christian and got saved before he passed away. I'll tell you, I remind you, there's nothing God cannot do. I was thinking, brother, I don't think he'd be ashamed if I told this, but Brother Dallas, before he got saved, was a bartender. And I got to think about him in the hospital the other night. And he went to a certain doctor, and the doctor kind of roughed him up. Was just as rude as that guy could be. And I thought to myself, you better be glad that you caught him 15 or 20 years later. Because 20 years ago, buddy, he'd have made you a painting on the wall. He was a mean scoundrel. I mean, a mean fellow. I want to tell you, that's the greatness of God. We understand that God can change a person. And so notice the greatness of God. But then not only does he appeal to God's greatness, and we ought to pray because God can do anything. We're not praying to someone who can't solve anything. We're not appealing to someone who has no power. Notice in verse 26, he appeals to his greatness and his mighty hand. Moses understands that God can do anything. Notice verse 27. Not only does he appeal to his greatness, verse 27, he appeals to his grace. Verse 27, he said, remember thy servants Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this thy people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. Moses is appealing to God's greatness, and he appeals to God's grace. He says, now, God, don't look at their wickedness, and don't look at their stubbornness, and don't look at their sin. God, be gracious to your people. And that's exactly what God did. I want to tell you, this is a great patriotic prayer. As we pray in 2016 about the next election, we ought to pray, number one, God, we're going to acknowledge our sin. God, we're going to abandon our sin. And Lord, we're going to be an advocate for those around us. And when we pray, we appeal to God's greatness, and we appeal to God's grace. Lord, would you forgive our country's sin? We have sinned greatly. Lord, would you be gracious to us? That's a great patriotic prayer that Moses gives us an example of there in Deuteronomy chapter 9.